Good morning, and welcome to the July 15th edition of Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and today's date is Thursday, July 16th, 2026. Let's start with coverage of the 4th of July, brought to us by Diane Ducey, and she begins. As the publicity chair for the Champaign County Freedom Celebration Committee, my fellow volunteers are getting me their summary reports about East Central Illinois' premier patriotic party on the 4th of July, with America's 250th as the theme. Our parade organizers, Marie Polk and historian Linda Umbarger, just gave me information about some of the winners with the Champaign County Freedom Celebration Committee. Trophy winners and categories are as follows. The President's Trophy went to the Champaign County History Museum. The theme trophy, which was of course America's 250th, went to Girl Scout Troop 2222 with their first place float, the Fair Queen, and Judge's Choice Award went to Perfect Timing Dance Academy. Current board president Lisa Davis worked with past board presidents Pam Lukemeyer, Gus White, and his mother Estella, as well as treasurer Margaret Givens, who have all been involved in the idea of promoting our community-wide freedom as Americans with this festival scene involving a 5K youth walk and run, the parade, and the evening program with the fireworks finale. Leslie Landreth from St. Joe and a small but devoted team assisting on creating four floats on flatbed trailers with a salute to our veterans and heroes, a Happy Birthday America cake, Stars and Stripes festivities, as well as being American as apple pie with a nod to sponsors like the Curtis Orchard, Kraft Heinz, Busey Bank, Keller Williams Realty, and the U of I Community Credit Union. The City of Champaign really came through in support this year. Of course, U of I liaison Stacy DiLorenzo was on board, making sure that event details followed the rules we know in Lot 31 near Geese Memorial Stadium and the State Farm Center when we go to Illini games and fans do their tailgating, as we had food vendors to add to the patriotic parties. Volunteers were pleased with the variety of entries with sponsors, service groups, nonprofits, music, and floats, and tried to mix up the diverse entries to give viewers a really fun experience. We appreciate those who are adapting to the online sign-up procedures, payments, and the email that's sent to the people in charge of the unit who look over the rules and understand our policies before the event so there are no misunderstandings as we get that lined up for the day. With the 5K on July 4th, organized by Tina Ammerman and her husband David, with assistance from the Second Wind Running Club and Body and Soul, 441 registered, with 432 who actually raced. The female winner was Morgan Johnson with a time of 17 minutes and 57 seconds. The male winner was Jack Fisher with a time of 16 minutes and 13 seconds. And the walk winner was Steve Blank with a time of 37 minutes and 1 second. As the publicity chair, Diane Ducey, was navigating the weather challenges as we worked closely with U of I Police Captain Joe McCullough, as well as Nate Park, who worked Central Command for security and traffic management patterns. We had a delay on the 6 p.m. start with music as the Urbana Clarinet Ensemble performed patriotic tunes, and we had a presentation with the Champaign County History Museum as a tribute to America's 250th. Captain Rat and the Blind Rivets performed until the flag ceremony, and the national anthem was performed by Crystal McCullough, with harmonizing from Lindy Drollinger, with an invocation from Reverend Michael Storger from the Peace Lutheran Church in Thomasboro. At 9:15, the Pyrotechnico Fireworks soundtrack aired on Light Rock 97.5, along with the fabulous light display. Singer Crystal McCullough from Meadowbrook Church Worship Team was also the volunteer chair with the Champaign County Freedom Celebration Committee, and she reported that over 50 people signed up to help out this year. The evening program leads were Mike Coble and Kyle Tendick, who offered inflatables, a face painter, and the Family First Advocacy Group had a foam party with lots of bubbles, sponsored by the City of Champaign, who really came through big this year in support of the events. And they committed, as always, to fostering an inclusive community by addressing the needs of persons with disabilities, preventing discrimination, and supporting accessibility. As part of this commitment, the City of Champaign is proud to sponsor that kid space at the Champaign County Freedom Celebration. With our contact for the second year on the project being Janelle Gomez, Community Relations Manager and Compliance Officer with the Equity and Engagement Department at the City of Champaign. Our cheers go out to everybody who made America's 250th celebration in Champaign County really the greatest ever. But the parties don't stop there. Coming up next weekend are the Sydney Fun Days 2026. On Friday, July 24th, and Saturday, July 25th, with events on Friday from 2 in the afternoon until 11:30 in the evening, and then a full day of activities following on Saturday from 8 in the morning until 11:30 in the evening. Friday activities start at 2 in the afternoon with a Lego Derby build, tune, and practice at the Sydney Community Building at 211 East Main Street. And things continue after that with the beer tent opening at 5 p.m. on South David Street, also in downtown Sydney. Various different vendors on Byron Street will be open from 5 p.m. till 8 p.m. Jonathan Poulter will perform at the beer tent from 5 to 8 p.m. The group B-Sides Champagne will also perform at the beer tent from 8:30 to 11:30 p.m., and a movie will be shown at the Sydney Community Building at 211 East Main Street starting at dusk. Saturday will be a full day of activities, starting with breakfast being held at the Sydney United Church, located at 501 East Main Street, from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Registration for the car show takes place starting at 9 a.m. until noon on South David Street in downtown. Vendors will open at 9 a.m., a kiddie bike parade, and the kiddie tractor pull. Registration starts at 9:30, and the tractor pull begins at 10 a.m. in the downtown South David Street area. The beer tent on Saturday opens at 10 a.m., and registration for the bags tournament will take place from 10 to 11 a.m. The Lego Derby check-in and practice will be held at the Sydney Community Building. Once again, that's at 211 South David Street. And that will run from 10 a.m. till 12:20 p.m. And the actual Lego Derby race will start at 12:30, right after the end of registration. The Downtown Sydney Car Show will take place from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's really a fabulous display of antique and unique and other cars. It's a great show. The 50-year Village of Sydney time capsule will be opened, and the items inside will be revealed at 11 o'clock a.m. in front of the Sydney American Legion Post building at 211 South David Street in downtown Sydney. Some of the folks that were there when the time capsule was originally buried will be in attendance for the reveal, so come on by and watch the excitement as the items buried in the time capsule 50 years ago are revealed. Once again, that's 11 a.m. The bags tournament at the beer tent area will be starting at 11 a.m., and Bertrand's Petting Zoo will be in the downtown area from noon to 5 p.m. It's a great opportunity for the kids, too. Lexi Tifo, who is a former American Idol contestant, will perform at the beer tent from 2 to 4 p.m. The Car Show Awards will be presented in the downtown area at 2 p.m., and the Sydney Fun Days Parade lineup will be happening at 2 p.m. at Witt Park, and the parade will step off at 3 p.m. There's also an event taking place at the Sydney Community Library, downtown Sydney, from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m., and inflatables will be up for the kids at the Sydney Community Building parking lot at 211 East Main Street from 3:30 to 7:30 in the evening. Hunter Lucas will perform at the beer tent from 5 to 8 p.m., followed by the Sydney Fun Days grand finale of Owen Knapp and the Rusty Strings, performing at the beer tent from 8:30 to 11:30 p.m. Owen Knapp is a native of St. Joe. The Friday, July 24th, and Saturday, July 25th, Sydney Fun Days promises to be a great event with wall-to-wall activities going on that include something fun for everybody. You can call or text Donna Hooker at 217-621-4929 or email her at mickey752004@yahoo.com, or you can visit the Sydney Improvement Facebook page, which is simply facebook.com. Actually, the event is way too long. Contact Donna Hooker for more information about both days, Friday, July 24th and Saturday, July 25th, for this year's 2026 Sydney Fun Days information. This is coming up this next weekend, and I'll see you there. Now let's check in with some of our community news and notes. We want to remind you again that through the end of July, Menards Home Improvement Store in Champaign will be sponsoring a food drive to support local food pantries and those in need. We also want to remind you that you can buy items for non-perishable donations to Menards Food Drive right at Menards, and there's a donation box at the front door. The Tolono Food Pantries are open every Monday from 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. and on Fridays from 9 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Tolono. There's another free food pantry at the parish, providing fresh produce, meat, and pantry items, and we serve all of Champaign County. Every Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m., the Giving Place is open in Tolono, also helping families in need of food items, and donations are always welcome. There's a caregivers group open for anyone who's caring for a loved one, a spouse, a parent, a child with a disability, or a friend. You can share experiences, offer suggestions, and discuss resources if you're caring for someone in need. They meet at the Zest for Life Center in Villa Grove, located at 610 East Harrison Street at 1:30 in the afternoon on the first Wednesday of every month. This is a free and informal group. And if you have questions or want information, you can text or leave a message at this phone number, 217-369-7071. And this is the caregivers group, which meets in Villa Grove. The Tolono Public Library is our next focus, and they're also celebrating America's 250th, and they begin. We often hear about the founding fathers of our nation, but rarely do we learn the stories of the women who certainly played a role in the birth of the United States. We still see the effects of their influence today. From soldiers to artists to spies, women were pivotal for our country's creation. On July 20th at 6:30 in the evening, Laura Keyes from the group Historic Voices will be giving an illustrated lecture focused on the women who had a front row seat to America's founding. We'll share stories of their bravery and surprising legacies. Laura Keyes graduated from the University of Wisconsin-Madison with a master's degree in library studies and is a lifetime member of the Association of Lincoln Presenters. Laura recently won the Excellence in Performing Award from that association. Register today so that you don't miss this compelling presentation about 250 years after these women helped found the United States. You can register on our website at tolonolibrary.org, or you can call the library at 217-485-5558. And once again, this event is on Monday, July 20th at the library at 6:30 in the evening. If you like games, if you're in an artistic mood this week, artist and library clerk Megan Rice is hosting an adult paint class at the library on Saturday, July 18th from 1 to 3 in the afternoon. She'll be demonstrating her own Light Up the Night painting. Follow along and learn how to create this festive canvas of fireworks. This event does require registration as space is limited. To register and see a sample of what you'll be painting, visit the events page on the Tolono Library's website. If you like games of strategy, join us at the library on Thursday, July 16th from 4 to 6 in the afternoon. The Oregon Trail is one of the games you can choose from to make your own adventure game. It will be set up throughout the library. In this escape room type program, you'll follow the map from stop to stop, completing different challenges at each one to see if you can survive another day on the Oregon Trail. Hopefully you won't die of dysentery along the way. As always, toddler story time and sensory bins will be on Fridays at 10 o'clock in the morning, and the Teen Make Lab is always on Wednesdays from 3:30 to 5 in the afternoon. For more information on all of the events at the Tolono Public Library and upcoming programs, visit our website or subscribe to our program's e-newsletter. It's always busy at the Tolono Public Library. As it always is at the Philo Library. They begin their weekly report. There are two orders of new books coming in as soon as they're hot off the press any day now. They include I Love You More, a novel by Emily Giffen. And next up, Ransom, a novel by Daniel Silva. These are all well-known authors. Lisa Scott-Aline's This Changes Everything and Colleen Coble's large print edition of Conspiracy. From another publisher, we'll be receiving David Baldacci's newest, All In. And you may want to book one of the new Nora Roberts trilogy books, Birth of the Witch, A Coven of Three, Hollow, a Harry Bosch novel by Michael Connelly, or Freda McFadden's Intruder, and We Chase Shadows. This is a We Solve Murders mystery book by Richard Osman. There are a few others, but we don't want to take up too much of the column talking about all the new additions we're looking forward to in the library. With the exception of the community cookbook that the Philo Library is putting together in time for the holidays, the deadline for submission of your recipes is August 1st, which isn't all that far away. So do think about contributing one of your family's favorites. Forms are available at the library desk, and all you have to do is stop in and pick up a couple of sheets, write down your favorite recipes, and turn in your submissions. We'll take it from there. We want to say a big thank you to the kids and adults who weathered the crafts and games programs this past month and a half. The kids were tremendous, and the adults were so helpful. Thank you again. The summer reading program is going on, we want to remind you, until August 1st, which is the last day to turn in your reading log and get a Barnes & Noble gift certificate or a coupon for a free pizza at Monocle's and other prizes for the reading you've done so far this summer. We've had a lot of kids participating in the reading program, and we're really proud of how many have already reached their first goal, and they're working on a second round of reading that will offer a different array of prizes. Keep up the good work, kids. Before we go, we want to thank each of you who read the Philo Library column each week in the newspaper. And as always, we say thanks for reading, and stay tuned for the big new books arriving soon at the Philo Public Library. And as usual every week, we have our nighttime sky review brought to us by David Leakey, former director of the Starkle Planetarium of Parkland College. However, he warns us, don't bother looking for the moon early in the week, as the moon was new just yesterday, sitting between the Earth and the Sun. That means that we won't see it again in the western sky until later in the week. Tomorrow evening, the moon rises from the sun's glare to sit just over 1 degree from the star Regulus in the western sky just after sunset. The pair and below and the right of the planet, Venus. Friday evening, the moon will have gained altitude and pays a visit to the planet Venus. The two aren't as close as they were in last month's gathering, but it's still an impressive sight as they sit side by side. As the moon moves higher in the sky, note how the position of Venus seems to shift further to the left each evening. If you own a telescope, see how Venus appears like a waxing gibbous moon, about 65% illuminated. It was Galileo and his small telescope who noticed the phases of Venus back in the early 1600s. The changing phases showed that Venus orbited the Sun, something that we take for granted today. Next up, we have our weekly ramblings from the village idiot who happens to be Kurt Foster. This is an opinion column. And he begins, in World War II, Allied and Axis commanders alike became enamored with the notion that wars could be won by bombing the enemy into submission. One idea was that the morale of the civilian populace could be broken, forcing the enemy to sue for peace. Another idea was that the enemy's capacity to wage war would be destroyed. However, the Blitz failed to break the morale of the British, and Allied bombings of Germany likewise failed to achieve their goal. In addition, bombing failed to destroy the enemy's capacity to wage war. My father served in Patton's Third Army. He would shake his head over the number of times we bombed the ball-bearing factory in Schweinfurt without success. The bombing campaign did degrade the enemy's capacity to wage war, but to win the war required boots on the ground and many, many casualties to take and hold territory. It is true that the U.S. military didn't have to invade the home islands of Japan, but our bombing campaign, including fire raids that incinerated hundreds of thousands of people alive while burning large districts to the ground, and even atomic bombs that destroyed two cities outright in a single blow each, were not enough to force Japan to surrender. That required an additional threat. The Soviet Union declared war and took the Kuril Islands, and the Japanese knew that Stalin didn't care how many of his troops got killed. The twin threats of nuclear destruction and slaughter on the ground secured Japan's unconditional surrender. The Allies did have an invasion plan. As part of that plan, the U.S. produced a stockpile of Purple Hearts, which are awarded to soldiers wounded in battle. That stockpile has been sufficient for all our subsequent military operations to this day. In Vietnam, our intensive bombing did huge damage and killed staggering numbers of people. But once again, it failed to stop enemy supplies from reaching the front or to break their resolve. Our troops in the field were able to win battles, but generally had to abandon the field within days. We didn't win the war in Vietnam. However, in the years that followed, it may reasonably be argued that we did win the peace. Now we are engaged in an attempt to force the unconditional surrender of Iran by bombing them into submission, or whatever it is that the administration says the objectives now are. Since March, the president has told us over a dozen times that the Iranians want to make a deal. The most recent short-term deal failed to endure for anywhere near its allotted time. The administration's only answer seems to be drop more bombs. We are in a role-reversed version of the story of the Tar Baby. We decided to strike Iran without a clear objective or strategy, and now we are stuck fast. The administration has also tried push-button warfare against cocaine trafficking, unmanned drones fire missiles that sink boats in the Caribbean, and there was a brief reduction in the flow of cocaine to the United States when the strikes began. But now, the Drug Enforcement Agency field office in Miami, the so-called cocaine capital of the United States, reports that street cocaine is cheaper and more plentiful than it has been in over 20 years. But the boat strikes have been a smashing success in numbing Americans into accepting the use of military force to solve law enforcement problems. And lastly, we want to highlight the Tolono Public Library's Coffee Talk event honoring historical ancestors who actually were patriots during the Revolutionary War. This event occurred on July 1st and included Speaker Carla Gerdes from the Champaign County Genealogical Society, who shared material about researching our ancestors and shared her own personal discoveries to help us understand the investigative secrets of where and how to explore the facts. This was a great program with 27 people in the audience. This concludes our reading of the July 15th edition of Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and I invite you to join us again next week.